areas, which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps. This model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Friday is an important day in court for Robert F. Kennedy. He's trying to get off the Wisconsin ballot. The Elections Commission and previous courts have ruled that under state law, the only way for non-party candidates to be removed is to die. Friday, Kennedy's team and the Wisconsin Elections Commission will file briefs with their arguments in the 2nd District Court of Appeals. Kennedy is trying to get his name off the ballot so his supporters are more likely to vote for former President Donald Trump. In an act of bravery, a 12-year-old boy saved his dad from a bear attack here in Wisconsin. Ryan Bierman and his son Owen were up near Siren, a village in Burnett County. They were hunting and had shot the bear from a tree stand. When they went down to track it, the bear spotted Ryan and charged him. Thinking quickly, 12-year-old Owen grabbed his gun and shot the bear, killing it and saving his dad's life. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Jordan Love might be ready to play this week. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. It seems all anyone can focus on is the quarterback situation in Green Bay. Jordan Love was hurt in the season opener, but he might be available to play this Sunday. Love said he doesn't know if he'll play Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of boxes. Obviously, I think getting back to practice and doing that and just, you know, feeling what it feels like to take those drops, being the live fire, things like that. But, you know, like I said, we're taking day by day. The trainer's doing a great job kind of monitoring me, seeing how I'm doing and how I'm reacting to everything.
If Love can't go, Malik Willis will get his second start. His former team, the Tennessee Titans, hosts the Packers Sunday at noon. The NL Central champion Milwaukee Brewers lost Thursday 5-1 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers 3 games back of the National League's best record. Same two teams tonight in Milwaukee. Wisconsin basketball, both men's and women's, announced their conference schedules on Thursday. You can see them at UWBadgers.com. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a Law Review, joins me. Are adult content creators being discriminated against at work? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Becoming sunny today, we'll have highs in the mid-80s. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-50s. Sunshine, 87 for Saturday. Sunday, showers and storms, cooler, 72. For Monday, more showers and thunderstorms with a high around 72. 73 on Tuesday.
Right now, it's 65.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the author and our colleague of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, an update on the Racing Sausage Lego set. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Got a chance to kick off the Corn Maze celebration pointed to the NFL draft coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin yesterday. Happened up in Chilton. Morning, everyone. Welcome in. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke on this, the 20th day of September. Yeah, it was a beautiful day up at Polly's Pumpkin Patch in Chilton, where we had a chance to visit with Aaron Popke, who is Director of Public Affairs for the Packers organization. They were kind of the spearheads behind these NFL-themed corn mazes that are available around the state. You're going to find out more about that as we roll our way through the hour. That, plus I know a lot of you Brewer fans are up early and headed towards American Family Field for the prep day celebration. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, will tell you what kind of weather you're looking at, not just for today, but for the weekend. So stand by. Lots of food and fiber information and hopefully some fun coming your way on a Friday.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
In the past few months, the four-wheel drive tractor industry has been thriving with an increase in sales. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and Kurt Blades, the Association of Equipment Manufacturers Senior Vice President of Industry Sectors and Product Leadership, is giving us a look at what has been happening in the four-wheel drive tractor market and multiple reasons as to why this increase in sales may be occurring.
For the last couple of months, we've actually been seeing some strength in the articulated four-wheel drive market in both the United States and Canada. And in fact, according to our July Ag Tractor and Combine report, we're looking at about a 5% increase in articulated four-wheel drives year to date in the U.S. and about 17% increase in Canada. Now, percentages are interesting because, you know, it's still pretty small numbers, but it's worth noting that certainly when the rest of the market of tractors and combines is showing a little bit more softness, to see some strength in that articulated four-wheel drive segment.
Do you have any idea as to why we are seeing this increase in sales and gaining momentum with this four-wheel drive tractor market?
Well, it's all sorts of things are leading into the numbers. I mean, the first thing you can say when you look at all the tractor and combine numbers is, you know, the overall ag economy and both, the strengths and the weaknesses of the overall ag economy do sort of point to where that looks like. I think because those large four-wheel drive tractors are pretty much a specialty, limited geography market, they're not available or they're not relevant for everybody. I think that sort of speaks to maybe some strength of certain geographies versus others. That feeds into it. The other thing is that those tend to be larger, farmers, larger operations, which might be slightly less sensitive to some of those price fluctuations, or really more said differently, they've got a machinery plan that's based on a couple of years, and this is just time when they're needing to make those purchases. The other thing that is very real in that particular market is that there's some new models out there. I know most of the major manufacturers have a newer, large four-wheel drive tractor, and when we see new machines on the market, that does tend to drive some demand as well. So it's not one thing, but it's a kind of a combination of things that you can sort of point to and say, hey, there's a little bit of a bright spot in that particular segment right now.
To kind of go off the new machinery thing there, we're seeing the turnover from older to newer, younger farmers. Could that be part of the reasoning that the increase is going on because they want the more advanced technology in their tractors?
Well, without question, farmers are taking advantage of the latest and greatest technology, and certainly the generational shift plays into that in a big way. But it's not limited to generations. I mean, let's think about, you know, an articulated four-wheel drive tractor has got a pretty big engine in it. The new engines are, let's say, 20% more efficient than the previous generation of engine. Well, you take that times, you know, diesel prices where they are, and all of a sudden you've got a fuel savings that comes pretty close to justifying the purchase. So that figures into it, along with the new technology, the precision ag technology, and that being built on board and being able to really take full advantage of that with your attachments, your pull behinds, your planters, your tillers, sprayers, whatever it might be. That's absolutely helping to drive the demand as well. So, you know, back to the previous comment, it's not one thing, it's a whole lot of things. And frankly, I get really excited when you look at the technology and you see what that means to a farmer. Is all of a sudden you've got operational efficiencies out of those machines that we couldn't have even dreamed of 20 years ago.
For these sales, is it mainly just farmers and agriculture, or is there some coming in from construction as well?
Well, the four-wheel drive tractor market does also service that construction market, and it kind of depends on the brand and depends on the time of year. That can account to up to 20% of that total market. So, that flows into it as well. And I think there were some times in recent past when we were looking at, you know, sort of softness across the board on tractors, but we saw strength in the four-wheel drive market, and that was somewhat directly attributed to that construction market. I think today it's a little bit more of a mixed bag because we're seeing some softness in the equipment market as well, or in the construction equipment market as well. But, you know, obviously, you know, there are times where maybe as high as 20% of that four-wheel drive market does go to, you know, those road graders and things that you see alongside the road that are helping with construction, are building things up. So you're seeing that demand, but it is not exactly a one-to-one. It certainly figures into the mix as well.
How long do we expect this trend of an upward angle of sales to continue in these four-wheel drive tractors? And what do we expect from the future? Do we expect it to really decrease at some point in the near future, or just to kind of level off?
I'm not a forecaster, so I don't like to predict too far into the future. I will say that the overall outlook for ag tractors and combines, based on what I'm hearing most analysts say, is that, you know, we've got some storm clouds ahead of us. So I think if you look at the publicly available reports from most of the manufacturers, they're showing some potential softness in the coming months. That certainly has been the case in the smaller horsepower tractors for a number of months, and it's starting to show up in the row crop tractors as well. I would think that the four-wheel drive tractor market will probably follow that same suit, but you never know. I mean, it's we're approaching harvest season right now, and looking at the crops that are out there, that tends to change farmer attitudes. There's also lots of discussions around interest rates and other things that could change that trajectory. But I think, if you just state that in general, the ag market has got a few storm clouds for the ag economy with commodity prices where they are. I think I'm not willing to say that I'm fully bullish on what that could look like in the future, but I certainly think that there are pockets that are going to continue to remain strong for the coming months.
Do you have any advice for farmers that are looking to buy equipment? Like, would you say now is the time to be buying them, or is it something that they should wait a little bit on prices?
Well, I represent the equipment manufacturers, so now is the right time to buy equipment, always. But I would say, in all seriousness, have a long-term equipment plan, working closely with their dealers, working closely with their accountants, to determine when is the best time for them to upgrade the equipment. So sort of stick with the plan But I would always say we learned during the pandemic when the supply chains were a little bit tight that sometimes deliveries can be delayed. Those farmers that had an equipment plan, maybe a 3-5 year equipment plan in place, they were less impacted by those supply chain shortages than others. So I'd encourage all of your listeners that are in the farming business to have a plan and plan for that equipment. You know, you can obviously implement contingencies based on income and what have you, but I think it's just a really good idea to always have a plan for it. There's going to be opportunities that maybe there's a deal here and there on a piece of new or a piece of used that you want to take advantage of. But I think the important thing is to have a plan and rely a little bit less on impulse, but really figure out how this works into your total farming operation, because capital equipment's expensive. And last thing we want to do is have farmer investments in the equipment they can't necessarily afford. But we want to make sure that that plan is what's really being put into place.
Is there anything else you would like to add about this increase of sales, or just overall about how the outlook on tractor sales and manufacturing looks?
Well, I would say that it's difficult to be in the ag business, have faith in the future, and prices to go up. So although I look at the markets today with softness in certain segments of the equipment market, we're approaching harvest, and we're approaching a time when you're seeing some pretty great yields and some pretty green corn out in where I'm sitting here in Iowa, and that puts a smile on farmers' face. So I always remain optimistic that even though we might have some storm clouds on the horizon, pretty good time to be in agriculture. It's going to be a lot of fun in the next couple of years, certainly as technology comes into full view. So it's a good time to be in this business, to see those machines that are rolling off the line, the new technology that's being unveiled as we speak.
Kurt Blades explaining the increase in the four-wheel drive tractor sales this year, along with some reasons that this may be occurring, while also giving some advice to farmers regarding how they should go about purchasing machinery. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
It's time for Badger football. Get ready to plan your trip to Camp Randall this fall and enjoy our time-honored traditions like Jump Around and the iconic tunes of the Wisconsin Marching Band. With great tickets still available, you can join the crowd for exciting matchups against longtime conference foes like Penn State and brand-new Big Ten rival Oregon. Don't miss your chance to experience Badger football game day. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Almost Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, Ben, I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, the lovable producer Conrad is being vague about his plans on his night off, but I will be joined by the awesomely talented Amanda Nimmer. And Terry Barr swings by on a bar band Friday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Wisconsin sports and pick up some free merchandise before you get the opportunity for tickets. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us on our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. For the folks that are headed this direction, Stu, doesn't look like weather is going to interfere with the celebration, does it?
No, Pam, weather really not a big issue unless you got enough rain to have some standing water somewhere you had to take care of this morning. Still some light rain pulling through the far eastern parts of Wisconsin. If you're on your way to Milwaukee shortly, you may still find some sprinkles on the way, but that rain will be ending. The cold front has pushed through out of the northwest. That very strong circling low still pulling up into south central Canada. It's going to be the anchor point. Another cool front will swing our way as we move on toward the mid part of the upcoming weekend. But today, the rain's ending. It's pulling away. Temperatures are going to be quite mild, well above normal, especially in southern and eastern Wisconsin. A little cooler, a little closer to normal as we head off to the west and far northwest. Now, with autumn officially beginning on Sunday, I think we're going to talk about rain, cloudy skies, rain, and believe it or not, temperatures that stay down at about normal or even a little below. I'm looking at Sunday, far northwest Wisconsin, mid-60s may be the warmest we get, and that's going to be along with clouds and some rainfall and activity that sounds a little more like autumn. You know, that dry harvest spell we've had here the last couple of weeks, where we made all kinds of progress without being bogged down with rain, how the crops have almost dried down too quickly. Well, that's going to come to an end now. We've seen it end already with some rain from last night, late yesterday, and through the night. But I expect that next rain chance, even late Saturday in northwestern Wisconsin, but more likely Saturday night into Sunday, that's going to mean more wet conditions as we start too early next week. In fact, right into next week, it stays a little more active around here, and that chance of a scattered shower or isolated thunderstorm pops up once and again about Monday and on toward Tuesday. Maybe around midweek, a slight chance for a little rain. More moist conditions are indeed going to be the rule as we make our way on through this first full week of the autumn season, and those temperatures are going to be a little cooler, a lot more like normal, down in the lower 70s and upper 60s, really where we should be for this time of the year, getting that official fall season underway. Hopefully the rain's not too much, we can get back to our harvest operation as soon as things dry up just a little bit. I'll be back with those forecast details right after this.
Football players are equipped with standard equipment, helmet, shoulder pads, and cleats. What if the entire front line was issued Bobcat equipment from Bobcat Plus? Not only would the game be more interesting, the added Bobcat attachments would make cleanup and turf grooming so much easier for the groundskeeper.
Visit Bobcat Plus in Appleton and BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story Contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update brought to you by Compure Financial, your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compure.com. Does call for a little light rain to end in the east this morning. Skies will slowly clear from northwest to southeast. Now in the northwest, we hold in the upper 70s. In the southeast, low to mid 80s are our highs, and skies will gradually be clearing throughout the day. Partly sunny early, more sunshine as the day rolls on. Sounds pretty nice. South winds in the east yet will become northwest like everywhere else at about 5 to 10. Now we stay clear overnight, drop down into the upper 50s in the south, low 50s in the north, and the northwest winds become a bit more variable, even southeast at about 5. I'd look for sunny skies Saturday, a great day, mid 80s in the southeast, lower 70s in the northwest as winds will become south at about 5. That chance of rain developing in northwest Wisconsin late Saturday afternoon. More likely showers and thunderstorms spreading southeast over Saturday night into Sunday. At that time, rain amounts pushing up to the half, maybe 3/4 inch range, and rain could get a bit heavier on towards Sunday night. May mean a damp start to autumn with that officially happening Sunday, and a damp cool situation heading toward Monday. In fact, with the rain Sunday, Low 70s in the south, mid 60s in the north. A much cooler spell coming our way. So, Pam, it indeed is going to sound a lot more like autumn. Cooler, kind of wet as we make our way towards Sunday and Monday. I don't expect big changes.
Yeah, that's what we needed. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Friday. Compure Financial is your financial partner. Whether it's agriculture or rural lifestyles, they're helping you out. Find more details at Compure.com. Listen, rainfall reporters, go ahead. You know that the talk text line is always open to you. 877-301-FARM. Or maybe you're headed over to AmFam Field for the fun this morning. Let us know. We're there in spirit. 877.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center. WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You got to go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Congress may get to internet regulation after a new government report on social media details alarming findings about privacy.
Self-regulation has been a failure. That's one of the main findings in a 129-page report by the Federal Trade Commission. It accuses social media companies like Meta, YouTube, and TikTok of a vast surveillance of their users, including children, while failing to protect their privacy and personal information. Geralina Khan says the companies collect enormous amounts of personal data and make billions of dollars off it every year. The FTC says it's time for Congress to pass legislation to protect privacy and young users online. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
An intelligence source tells ABC News the suspected Israeli exploding pager operation against Hezbollah in Lebanon was 15 years in the making. A judge in Dallas blocked Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's bid to quash a ban on guns at the state fair.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Friday is an important day in court for Robert F. Kennedy. He's trying to get off the Wisconsin ballot. The Elections Commission and previous courts have ruled that under state law, the only way for non-party candidates to be removed is to die. Friday, Kennedy's team and the Wisconsin Elections Commission will file briefs with their arguments in the 2nd District Court of Appeals. Kennedy is trying to get his name off the ballot so his supporters are more likely to vote for former President Donald Trump. In an act of bravery, a 12-year-old boy saved his dad from a bear attack here in Wisconsin. Ryan Bierman and his son Owen were up near Siren, a village in Burnett County. They were hunting and had shot the bear from a tree stand. When they went down to track it, the bear spotted Ryan and charged him. Thinking quickly, 12-year-old Owen grabbed his gun and shot the bear, killing it and saving his dad's life. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Jordan Love might be ready to play this week. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. It seems all anyone can focus on is the quarterback situation in Green Bay. Jordan Love was hurt in the season opener, but he might be available to play this Sunday. Love said he doesn't know if he'll play Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of boxes. Obviously, I think getting back to practice and doing that and just, you know, feeling what it feels like to take those drops, being the live fire, things like that. But, you know, like I said, we're taking day by day. The trainer's doing a great job kind of monitoring me, seeing how I'm doing and how I'm reacting to everything.
If Love can't go, Malik Willis will get his second start. His former team, the Tennessee Titans, hosts the Packers Sunday at noon. The NL Central champion Milwaukee Brewers lost Thursday 5-1 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers three games back of the National League's best record. Same two teams tonight in Milwaukee. Wisconsin basketball, both men's and women's, announced their conference schedules on Thursday. You can see them at UWBadgers.com. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We are live on location from Cheese Days in Monroe once again, also covering Vice President Harris's visit to Wisconsin. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Becoming sunny today, we'll have highs in the mid-80s. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-50s. Sunshine, 87 for Saturday. Sunday, showers and storms, cooler, 72. For Monday, more showers and thunderstorms with a high around 72. 73 on Tuesday.
It's 64 at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Shortly after taking office, Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen directed state election officials to invalidate voter registrations of immigrants who had been issued a permanent resident or green card by the U.S. government. In his zeal to root out non-citizens, he apparently invalidated eligible U.S. naturalized citizens as well. Despite no evidence of widespread illegal voting by non-citizens in Alabama, Allen directed the removal of residents who had a federal non-citizen identification number from the state's voter rolls. The state purged 3,251 people in August, after which Allen said in a statement, "I have been clear that I will not tolerate the participation of non-citizens in our elections." The Alabama Reflector reports that a lawsuit was filed September 13th by democracy groups and four naturalized citizens who had one time held a green card and a non-citizen identification number and were swept up in Allen's, quote, purge program. The complaint alleges that it violates the First and 14th Amendments, the Voting Rights Act, and the National Voter Registration Act, and asks the court to strike the program down. It also alleges that the announcement and notification of voters violated the VRA's prohibition of, quote, attempting to intimidate, threaten, or coerce any person for voting or attempting to vote. No hearing has yet been scheduled. We've linked the complaint at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about talking about money and why we gotta do it, even though it's something we really don't want to do. In our culture, we're almost conditioned, like trained, not to discuss it. You know, it's impolite, it can make people uncomfortable, it could cause conflict. Well, I'm here to say that not talking about money makes it harder to solve money problems, harder to ask for a raise, harder to figure out and talk about what we want in life. Look, if you want to make more money and you want to get better at your money, you got to talk about your money. So let me start with a suggestion that I saw once on a shoebox. Just do it. Find a trustworthy friend or a family member and just talk to them about what's nagging you about your money. Now, you might not solve everything, but I bet you'll make some headway, and I promise it gets easier and better every time. For more money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Side note, and now...
Yes, today we are in the Ripon area with the Wisconsin Agriculture Tourism Association as they unveil another NFL draft-themed corn maze. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report. We got a chance to see one of those corn mazes yesterday up in Chilton. That story on the way. So today is the 20th day of September. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 2001, then-President George W. Bush declared a war on terror after the 9/11 attacks. Happy birthday. Pretty big one today. Actress Sophia Loren, considered one of the last remaining golden age Hollywood stars, turns 89 today. Yes, she's still alive. And now you know. Like I said, it was a hot but beautiful day up in Chilton at Polly's Pumpkin Patch when we launched the Wisconsin Agriculture Tourism Association's corn mazes, all with an NFL theme. One of the special guests that were there, Aaron Popke. He's the director of public affairs for the Green Bay Packers organization. You know, they were a driving force trying to get corn maze owners to go with an NFL theme. I talked with Popke and asked him to explain why the Packers took such interest in that aspect of agriculture.
Well, when we were awarded the draft by the NFL right away, and even before that, but early on, we thought of all the different ways that we could engage the state, because we know it's going to be a really big impact across the state. People will be driving in from neighboring states, flying in from elsewhere. I mean, the draft gets visitors from all 50 states, mm-hmm. several foreign countries, just to celebrate the NFL, and it's an awesome off-season event. But given all that, knowing all these people come through, we just thought, all right, what are some ways that we can engage communities across the state? And many are going to be putting out the red carpet for visitors that are going to be driving through. But what could be a way to engage some of the staples of the state of Wisconsin, you know, whether it's tourism or commerce, and agriculture, certainly a big one. And we all have families and have all been to corn mazes and pumpkin patches and orchards and all those things that are so wonderful to visit. We thought, well, what about doing a corn maze and doing a few different corn mazes across the state just to celebrate the draft, add another element to these farms that get visited in the fall and spring anyway. Let's put something together. So that's how the plan originated, and it was a matter of making some contacts that were mentioned today as to whom we should reach out to, and the plan went from there.
I've got to believe that a lot of Wisconsin agriculture has been pawing at you, Aaron, to try to get in on the action. Corn maze is just the first.
Yeah, I think we're all, as I said earlier, just trying to celebrate in a number of different ways getting the draft, and it's our opportunity. I mean, it's certainly about football, but with respect to all the visitors that come in, it's our opportunity as a state to show all these visitors what is going on in the state. So it's a visit, but it represents a major industry in the state that supports so many jobs and families. And I think people respect that. And I know when I go visit other places, I'm curious about the communities themselves. And this is a way to be able to show that off, and the people who are going to be looking to take in these types of experiences, and our own residents. You know, for those that haven't come out to a corn maze yet, they see that the draft and that's part of it. They may say, hey, we've been talking about going to see a corn maze. Let's go check that one out. So it's a way to engage the residents, help people learn about more about their own state. It's a way to engage our visitors and a way to celebrate these farms and what they've meant for generations.
I love it. Green Bay Packers paying attention to Wisconsin agriculture in lieu of the draft. That's Aaron Popke. He is the director of public affairs for the Green Bay Packers, explaining why they're excited to see some of our corn mazes with that NFL theme. As I mentioned, I'm on the road this morning because I will be in Ripon with another one of our NFL-themed corn mazes. Today, we anticipate being joined by Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and many other guests. So if you want to follow along, I'll try to post pictures on social media, Fabulous Farm Babe or Midwest Farm Report, or by all means, do follow the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association social media sites or go to their website, wiagtourism.com, and learn more. We're going to learn more about what's happening in the marketplace. That's coming up next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Dairy farmers of Wisconsin are building strong farms for a strong future right here in America's Dairyland. Join them and Pam at World Dairy Expo on October 1st and October 3rd at 1:30 p.m. at booth 3403 in the exhibition hall. To learn more about Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, visit wisconsindairy.org.
World Dairy Expo is excited to celebrate the golden age of dairying. This year, experience how technology has helped usher in a new age of dairy. Events start September 28th and end October 4th with the naming of Supreme Champion. Visit worlddairyexpo.com.
Well, the markets were definitely excited yesterday about the Federal Reserve's announcement of a half percentage point cut on interest rates, but none of that money was coming towards commodities. On the close yesterday in Chicago, the December corn dropped 7 cents to 405 3/4. November beans closed about a penny lower, 1013. December wheat was down 10 1/4, 565 1/2. Dairy markets yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was down a penny and a quarter, 261. 40-pound block cheese gained 3 cents at 227 1/2, while double A butter on Thursday down 3 1/2 to 297 a pound. This morning, we're putting the emphasis on the positive. Wisconsin getting ready to host the NFL Draft 2025, and we're celebrating it with some very unique corn mazes that are being unveiled this week and next across the state, courtesy of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. Yesterday, I was at Polly's Pumpkin Patch in Chilton, just off Highway 57, where I had a chance to visit with Polly Rowland and her husband, Gary Jukin. It's his family farm. It's been in the family for 100 years, and Polly told me a little bit about the challenges they faced this year trying to create that NFL-themed corn maze.
Well, remember all that rain we got earlier this year? We had something like 22 or 25 inches in a month, and that really, we have a drainage tile, but there was still puddles, and we lost a lot of pumpkins and replanted, and it rained again, and we lost those. So we did lose a lot of pumpkins. We lost some of the corn on the south end of the corn maze, and our agronomist really helped us and told us, after we had replanted the corn, I think twice, he said, get some sorghum seed and plant that. It grows faster, and it, you know, it's fuller and thicker. Right. Mm-hmm. So that has worked great. The sorghum just filled right in, and you wouldn't even know that it's sorghum. And it's right on the edge, so nobody's really walking through it anyway. But we had pre-emergent on the pumpkins, and it just got diluted with all that rain, so it didn't work. And we have fall help, field help, but we don't have spring and summer help. So I did try to weed. I got two rows done, and the rest is just, it is terribly weedy. But we do have pumpkins. We have a lot of pumpkins.
Yeah. People don't stop and think about the challenges that a corn maze presents.
growing the corn, field of corn is one thing. Trying to get a maize that's recognizable is a whole different can of worms.
Sure. When we're picking our design, we're already thinking of a design for next year. Okay. You know, we have to think about it and think about it. Our employees have input, but we always have fun animals in it. We don't want to do anything incorrect or politically incorrect or anything. We want something that everybody will enjoy. Mm-hmm. So we always have animals in it. And last year we were contacted by the Packers intern draft team planning committee, and we worked with them a lot, and we were chosen.
Polly Rowland and her husband, Gary Jukum, on his home farm, celebrating 100 years in the same farm family. Your host at Polly's Pumpkin Patch, just off Highway 57 in Chilton. Like she said, the pumpkins look beautiful now that we're past all that wet weather. And the corn maze looks fantastic as well. Now, remember, the corn maze is open. Today, we'll open another corn maze in the Ripon area. Want to find out more? Pop on over to Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association's website. That's WIAgTourism.com. Or follow me today, Fabulous Farm Babe and Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. Up next, Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension Soybean Specialist.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our VacPack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review, joins me. Are adult content creators being discriminated against at work? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
What are you hearing? What are you seeing in your plots?
Yeah, Pam, what we've been looking at is, you know, I just want to step back a little bit and just say, you know, we were starting to get these reports from across the country. This is going to be a record soybean crop. I don't agree whatsoever. If you look outside of maybe that I corridor that some of these reports came from, it's north of that corridor and south of that corridor. It's going to be very spotty. I've heard preliminary yields really low. A lot of these places, the rain shut off a month ago. So seed size in soybean is really small. So, I mean, we just harvested a plot. Well, they're harvesting it right now while we're talking, Pam. Last year, this his plot ran 77 bushels per acre. Right now it's running 61. So we're about 16 bushels off, which is about 20% yield reduction. And I'm not going to say that's going to be everywhere in the state, but I'll be surprised if we're – I know we're going to be below trend. To what extent we're going to be below trend, we'll have to see.
No, because of the weather, and not just weather now, but weather this spring, we're seeing certain conditions that growers need to be mindful of, too.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, we really need to remember is we were so wet this spring that we had, like, a really tiny root system. Mm-hmm. So all the majority of those soybean roots are in that top 6 inches of soil just because it didn't need to expend any energy to go any deeper. Well, that's where they're sitting, and they've been dry. So, I mean, the weather conditions kind of flipped. They're the exact opposite they were last year. Last year was, you know, dry, and then the spigots turned on. They were the exact opposite. So we're really going to see some really small soybean seed size, and I kind of made a joke today. We might have to get the duct tape out and fill up some of those cracks in those sieves because of the soybean size is me so small. But that's what I'm really encouraged farmers to get out and look behind the combine this year just to make sure their airflow isn't too high and some of these other issues related to that, because I think we're going to be pushing a lot of the small seed out the back, and we need to harvest every single bean we can this year to help bring up that yield, which is going to be down.
And so dry, got to be mindful of shatter.
Yes, we were just, again, we're starting to cut beans roughly 10 days, 2 weeks earlier than we normally do. And we cut beans yesterday, Pam, and those beans were 8.8% moisture. We're cutting some today, and they're sub 10. So that's another thing to consider. We're getting that, you know, quote-unquote shrink, if you will, that we're all also going to be docked on or dinged on that side of things. Yeah. So hopefully we can get some rain here to kind of slow this thing down. But, I mean, shatter is a concern. So when you're out there, make sure you slow those reels down in front of that combine head as you're pushing it along, just to make sure we're not causing shatter. And that's a good thing also to think about, is get off the combine and look for head shatter as well as stuff going out the back end. So you're going to see two different types of losses with the weather we've seen this year.
Yeah, and you're going to maybe have to look through it for a lot of dust. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, along with us. You know, while you're telling us about the crop that we're harvesting, Sean, people have to understand this is also research-related information that you're compiling right now. What have you noticed? What projects were you hoping for the best in calendar year 2024, and what are you learning so far?
Yeah, what we've really seen this year is for one thing, we saw more white mold than we thought we would see. I know Dr. Damon Smith, our plant pathologist, thought it would be spotty, and it was so. But we had some places where we actually flew on some fungicides with a drone, and last year it worked the same as a ground rig, and this year I'm not quite as sure if we're going to see the same efficacy. We just went out and rated those plots, and we couldn't tell the difference between the no application and spraying with a drone, so that makes me a little suspect of what we're going to see out there. Beyond that, I think these cover crops, I'd be curious to see how we have all these cover crops established out in the field and with additional nitrogen, and how that's going to affect the entire cropping system and overall yields in general. Knowing that we're trying to get as much biomass out there for weed control, but also that's pulling moisture that would then be going into that soybean crop. So we're going to see a lot of those interactions happening in 2024.
See how mild it is this winter as far as kill of those cover crops next spring, too. Again, reminding you that this conversation brought to you courtesy of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, your checkoff dollars at work, research, education, and promotion. Sean, let's talk a little bit also about another condition that you're encouraging farmers to think about monitoring now that is not top of mind for me. Soybean cyst nematode.
Yeah, it's curious, Pam, that, you know, you really don't think about this as much, but in a dry year, we actually see a higher egg production from soybean cyst nematode. It stimulates that SCN to make more eggs. So what we always encourage farmers, when you go into or following a dry year, to go out and sample, even though you may have a good sense of what's out there for a population, we're going to see a significant uptick in the amount of eggs. So the next time that field sees soybeans, so obviously if you're a corn soybean rotation, go into 2026, but think about going out and sampling those fields just to know how well your SDN management system is working for you and whether or not you need to make some tweaks for 2026.
And that's a test that's still provided courtesy of Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board.
Yeah, we're really fortunate here in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board will pay for up to 4 free samples from any farmer across the state of Wisconsin. And it's really, you know, a beneficial tool for farmers to take advantage of that. So, because normally these samples are now running about $100 a pop. So that would be $400 that can come in and really help you make management decisions. And those decisions aren't just for soybean, but they're all for all other plant parasitic nematodes. So they would be the ones that affect in corn, or if in your vegetable rotation, ones would be affecting vegetables as well. So take advantage of this tool and this test. It really helps you as a farmer make educated decisions for that subsequent cropping systems.
Another message that you've heard through the growing season has been encouraging producers across the state to engage in the soybean yield contest. A lot of different reasons for that. Not necessarily an ideal year, Sean, as we've already alluded to, but we did get more people interested in finding some numbers and getting some data from that.
Yeah, this year, Pam, we were able to get over 100 entries into it. And I don't want to give you too much, you know, credit here, Pam, but, you know, a lot of it has to do with you and the support of your network out there getting these farmers to supply those yield contests. And I haven't seen one for Pam Yonke yet this year, so I don't know if we'll see that in the pile or not.
I will be on his advisory board on what needs to change for 2025. Again, like we said, all of this information brought to you courtesy of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. Dr. Sean Conley along with us. If you're looking to find out more about how your checkoff dollars are being invested, go to wisoybean.org.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
A feature film storyline centering on a grain bin entrapment. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A movie called Silo came out in 2021, a fictional account of a teenage boy trapped in a grain bin and the community's efforts to rescue him. One resource the filmmakers reached out to was Steve Sukup of Sukup Manufacturing, a Sheffield, Iowa maker of grain bins and related equipment. His first reaction?
It's about a grain entrapment, and I go, oh! That is one of the hazards of our industry, but do you want your grain bin associated with that? And, you know, after thinking it through, you go, it's a hazard of our industry. We got to teach people about it, got to make them aware. And the movie's just been incredible along those lines.
The film was shot at the New Haven, Kentucky farm of Quint Pottinger. He was eager to help. Pottinger has a particular interest in mental health in the farming community.
Because there are so few of us, we're alone. We spend a lot of our days alone. And if you don't have a really good personal connection at home, or if things are stressful for another reason that are personal that aren't necessarily farm related, as hard as that is to say, because the farm is very personal. And then there's always this idea that we're at the mercy of the weather. Just have these other things outside of your day to day that really weighs on you.
You can search online for viewing opportunities for Silo. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the author and our colleague of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, an update on the Racing Sausage Lego set. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our backpack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.